You're listening to the
number one radio.
Trim Radio Network.
You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Life Show. We are live streaming on Trim Radio Network, which is 100% veteran-owned. We're really happy that they have invited us to be part of their network. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here today.
Yeah. So last week, we went over a lot of vitamins. And hopefully everyone has their vitamins scheduled down, or at least they're starting to take vitamins. That would be very exciting news for me. But this week we're going to talk about a couple different things. Herbs, medicinal herbs, as well as healing herbal teas. So right now I just want to ask you, Nick, are you taking any herb supplements or herbal herbal teas, anything like that?
Herbal teas, no herbal teas I'm taking.
You don't go in the yard and pull your own herbs and dry them out and sprinkle them on your salad?
No, I wouldn't know what to, do.
Oh.
Or what to look for.
Well, you will. So, okay. I'm going to start out by telling everyone that through all of my schooling and all of my training, I have just a plethora of books on herbs. That was a big part of my studies, and it's a big part of my practice. And so many of the books are not really meant for somebody to just buy and really learn anything about the herbs, because it may just talk about an herb that you're interested in, as opposed to a book that you can look up. I have a lot of inflammation. I have, inflammation on my skin. My big toe is swollen. My ears are swollen. I have type 2 diabetes. I have, whatever your ailment is. And this particular book, which I am going to recommend that everybody that is interested in medicinal herbs make a purchase. And it's called An Illustrated Guide, 101 Medicinal Herbs. And it is written by Stephen Foster. And the reason why I love this particular book is the index. You can go to the index and not just look up the herb, because you would have to look up every single herb to see if it's going to fit, reducing pain. You wouldn't know, or reducing inflammation or swelling. You're not going to know that, so you can't go through thousands of herbs. But this index, you can actually look up cancer. You can look up bone strength. You can look up different things, and then it will refer you back to the herbs that can help assist you with that particular ailment or concern. And it took me a long time to actually find this book. It was, but I'm just thrilled, and I recommend that everybody that is interested in any type of herbs that they would make this purchase. So we're going to start with arnica. Do you know what arnica is, Nick?
I just know that it's a plant. That's all I know.
It is. It's a yellow flower plant. It's kind of sort of pretty. It's in North America. In fact, it's all over Europe also. And I hear a lot about arnica because if it's an anti-inflammatory and it does help with injuries. So if you have some sort of an injury where you have some swelling, wherever it is, this is exterior, this is an arnica that you're going to use a cream, and you can just rub it, you know, the cream that you can just buy. You can buy it at GNC, Arnica Cream. You can buy it at Walgreens. You can buy it at CVS. It just says Arnica Cream. And it really is fantastic, especially in this hot weather. A lot of people are getting insect bites, and that would include me. I believe that would include you. And you can actually take Arnica cream and just use it as a topical, you know, on your skin, and it will bring down the swelling, and it will also bring down some of the pain. Something that's kind of interesting is in Europe, Arnica is the number one herbal first aid cream. And so I think that that's really interesting. And in Germany, it's not even a word. In Germany. No, I was talking about the country. In Germany, they have just alone in their market about 300 different types of Arnica, you know, products on their market that you can just buy.
And so they're sold as over-the-counter herbal pain relievers?
They are, but that's not it. You can also take it as a tincture. Mm-hmm. You can also buy it as a little tiny itty-bitty pill. They're tiny little pills, and you put them under your tongue, and they melt. So they also can help you internally. So, but you wouldn't take the cream internally. You would have to take, you know, it's a different form. So, also you can dry the flour yourself and put it on a salad. It also comes in gels and ointments, and under homeopathic type products you can buy it. So, but its primary use is for any kind of outward pain. Like if you have muscle pain, you can use the use Arnica both ways. You can use it by putting it, you know, the little pills under your tongue, or you can actually use the aid cream, and it reduces inflammation and swelling, and it is a pain reliever. The only thing that I need to caution people about Arnica is it really is meant for short term, for, you know, acute conditions, not really a chronic condition. So although some people that may have rheumatoid arthritis, which would be chronic, not acute, you can use it, but it's just something that you have to be cautious about. So anything you want to say about Arnica? Any questions?
I suppose I'm just curious how effective it is and what kind of pain it's used for. But in some countries, you're saying it's a number one over-the-counter herbal pain reliever. So.
Yes, and they use it, I mean, a lot for if you sprain your ankle, a bruising. That is something, okay, this is kind of funny. A lot of these gals and guys, they go and get fillers in their face, or if they're going to have some sort of surgery, I don't know. Sometimes the medical doctor will recommend that they take Arnica for 5 days. This is internally where you take it, put it under your tongue, for 5 days before a surgery to help with the internal swelling and any swelling that they can see on the outside. So, and bruising. So a lot of these gals that get fillers, they get, you know, ginormous lips or whatever they do to themselves. You can take the Arnica cream and put it on your face or wherever you're. Okay. Well, enough about that. So
if a woman has some fillers and some bruising on her face, she can put Arnica on her face and it will reduce the pain and the bruising. If there's bruising.
Yes. Now, I use arnica for something that isn't necessarily recommended to any books that I read, but sometimes I'll use arnica under my eyes just a little bit, because it does reduce kind of the puffiness, and it's very safe. Some people will say, oh, go ahead and use Preparation H, which is a hemorrhoid cream. And women, especially women, I shouldn't just say women with arnica or with Preparation H. They'll put that under their eyes for their swelling.
Well, I've on the Preparation H thing, now this is years ago that guys were doing this, but there were guys that would spread it all over their bellies, probably women at the time too, to tighten their, you know, to so their abs would stand out more. And apparently it was a thing.
I'm going to do it. Are you serious?
Yeah, I believe probably the late 90s is when I read about it.
Oh, so you are not...
I hadn't personally seen it, but I had read that it was common amongst...
So right before your big bodybuilding competition, throw Preparation H all over your body.
I believe it has had use in bodybuilding competitions before. So I know that you're kind of joking about that, but I believe that has actually happened. And what I read about was that there were men, that it was common for men to use it that would go to clubs.
Oh, to meet the ladies?
To meet the ladies, yeah.
Or to meet whomever they desire.
Yeah, so this would have been like in the 90s. The late 90s, so I wouldn't have been able to see that firsthand.
Okay. Because you were five or just born?
Because if I showed up, I would have been like, I'm five.
Okay.
Or I'm two, yeah.
Okay, that's funny. Yeah, that would have been weird for you to be clubbing at such, unless you had very strange parents.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've been told you do.
I was born on the dance floor.
Yeah. So. Better than the Kmart.
And all I could smell was Preparation H.
Okay, we are not really that amusing, so we're going to move on. The next herb that I'd like to talk about is called bilberry. So any of the herbs that I mentioned that have the word berry in it, it actually is a berry. But the bilberry plant, there's always the roots and the leaves, but... Oftentimes, they're referring to the berry. And it's really interesting, during World War II, pilots in the British Royal Air Force reported improved night vision after eating bilberry jam. And the reason is because it really does help with your microcirculation.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, there is something that I've taken before that had an effect on my night vision, and I can't remember whether it made it more difficult or if it made it easier for me to see, and I believe it was many years ago when I was a teenager. I suppose not that many years ago, but... I believe it was St. John's wort, which is like a mood... You know, improves your mood. I don't, but I believe that had an effect on how dark light was.
Okay, so but you don't remember if it was better or worse.
I think it made everything brighter, but noticeably so at night.
Okay, because St. John wort is, well, I mean, it is an herb, and it is, you can just buy that as a supplement at your supplemental store, or even like, you know, Walgreens or any of the stores. Mm-hmm. And it is excellent for stress. It is one of the number one stress relievers. Somebody that has high anxiety, somebody that has anger issues, you know, they are just quick to get angry. It has a calming effect, and I think that it is fantastic. And a lot of people, you know, just need to take that instead of taking.
Well, my understanding of it is that it's similar. It's like an herbal antidepressant in its effect profile, And I, even though it was a while ago, from memory, it had a noticeable effect, and it's something that was, you know, it's herbal and over the counter.
Yes, exactly. So, and you can take
And I don't remember any negative effects from it.
There is a negative effect. It's not going to make you drowsy. You know, with all these medicines, you know, you read the label and it's scary. With these herbs, there's some cautions. There's some, mm-hmm. some little interactions. Like, for example, bilberry, which
I'm just pointing out that my experience with it was one in which I don't remember anything negative, but I'm not saying that people shouldn't be safe.
Right, right. Well, what I'm just suggesting is that it usually doesn't interact or have a negative effect. In fact, my entire practice, you know, having a PhD in natural medicine, is all about medicines that don't have an ill effect on anybody. If it doesn't work exactly how they want, it's not going to hurt them. But everything has cautions. Sometimes you do have to talk to your doctor because it may contradict or interact with a drug that you have been taking, a pharmaceutical type drug. And now with bilberry, there are no side effects, and there haven't been any indication that there is any interaction with drugs, at least that have been reported so far. But as far as the night vision and these World War II pilots in the British Royal Air Force, they just found that it really improved their vision, and it's because of the microcirculation, which we're talking about your capillaries. So the circulation in your capillaries and your eyeballs are full of little capillaries. So that is why. It also, bilberry, helps with bruising. And you eat it. It's just or you can take it in a tea. Every single thing, by the way, I want to mention, can be in a tea form where you steep it, you know, put hot water on it and steep it for 10 minutes. Like, in other words, you let it sit for 10 minutes and then you can drink it, and it does have the same effect. Or you can dry it out and put it on your food, or you can just simply go to the store like a GNC and buy it in capsules and digest most everything that I'm talking about. So, but with bilberry, it deals with bruising, diarrhea, hemorrhoids, your microcirculation. And what I find really interesting is varicose veins. A lot of the varicose veins that we think of, the big huge ones that you see, but they always start out with, you know, with little capillaries that burst all over. So anybody, male or female, that has some varicose veins, bilberry is something that you may want to consider. And lastly, something, because I recently had some dental work done, mouth and throat inflammation. So if you go to the dentist, and in that case, you would just want to drink it in a tea form. And you can also, your tea does not have to be hot. After you steep it in the water, you can let it cool off, and then you can actually rinse your mouth. So I think that bilberry is a really great herb. Now, most everyone has heard of chamomile. You've heard of chamomile or chamomile. Some people say tea. It is a very pretty, pretty little flower. It looks very much like a daisy.
I think it's known for relaxing or helping people go to sleep.
Well, it is a mild sedative. So I wouldn't recommend taking chamomile tea, you know, first thing in the morning, or if you have to get up and go about your day and want to be really busy. It's not going to make you too sluggish, and it's certainly not going to, you know, affect your driving. It's not that type. It's a mild, mild, gentle sleep aid, but not to the point. It's not like taking a sleeping pill.
Okay.
So, yeah. And okay, so what was I just saying? I lose track.
We're in the middle of chamomile.
Oh no, I know that. I know that, but it was just sort of wanted people to know that if you happen to take it in the middle of the day, you can go to the market if you need to, or go to work, or whatever activity you need to do, and it has a slight
sedative effect, but you're saying that you can take it in the middle of the day.
Yes, because it's very mild, but I recommend if you're going to drink a lot of it, you know, in a tea form, and I drink it as a tea. That's how I take my chamomile, as a tea. So it does help with people that have insomnia, but also nausea and inflammation, and it helps with wound healing. Hmm. So let's say you have a wound that you want to heal, and you just sort of, you know, it helps with that. So it's just pretty extraordinary. And also... it's just, chamomile is just wonderful. I love chamomile tea. And so I probably have one cup of chamomile tea once a day. And so, but it's a mild tea that is a sleep aid, particularly for children, let's say ages 6 and up. Most of the herbs that I'm talking about, I do not recommend that you start your children on an herbal program without talking to, you know, a doctor of natural medicine or a doctor of natural health, or even your pediatrician, the doctor. So before you would start a child on any kind of program. Okay. So moving on. Now, I just want to... talk about cranberries. Everyone loves cranberry. We all have cranberry juice in our refrigerator. Probably has too much sugar in it. You can buy it with very low sugar. But they always used to say that it's good for a urinary tract infection. Well, I say that is indeed true, but that would be for a mild urinary tract infection. If it's to the point where you're in excruciating pain, you would need to call your doctor, and because you already have a strong enough infection. So it's really it's great for preventative. So people that drink a lot of cranberry juice, it helps in the treatment, you know. If you're somebody that typically has a lot of urinary tract infections, male or female, it's really good for just long-term treatment to prevent that. Something else in that regard that has nothing to do with cranberries is with females, if you are somebody that loves to soak in the tub with your salts or just bathe a lot, within 5 minutes of getting out of the tub, urinate, because that will help any little water bits and soap that gets up into your urethra. And the same applies to men. Even taking a shower, it's always good to drink half a cup of water before you go in the shower. That water will usually go through your system within 20 minutes by the time you get out of the shower. Unless you're a guy that takes a 5-minute shower, take your water a little bit sooner. And then make sure to urinate. So that, in addition to cranberries, now you can eat the cranberries. You can just eat cranberries if you want. You can take cranberries in capsules. There's a lot of different ways that you can, digest and get the cranberries. A lot of people will just eat it just whole as a fruit. They may boil them, they may have it raw, it may be jellied, it may be in a juice. But the fruit concentrate capsules is what I use. So, what do you think about that? Cranberries.
It sounds like something that some people would have reason to take.
Yeah, well, it is just a great natural plant. So I hope I'm not boring. Am I boring you, Nick?
No, it's interesting.
Is it? Okay. Okay. So now I'm only going to talk about a few more, and then we can sort of talk about some other things. So so we're going to talk about echinacea.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a beautiful flower. And Native Americans of the prairie, they've used echinacea for more medicinal purposes than any other plant, for colds to cancer. So now, preventative. This is just something to strengthen your body.
Okay.
You know, this, if you have cancer, now that's something that I always want to preface this. If you have cancer, you can't just start taking echinacea and say it's going to make your cancer go away. It's like if you break your leg. Okay, you break your leg. Your leg is broken. You can't start taking a lot of herbs that will strengthen your bones because your leg is broken. If you already have diabetes, you can't just start type 1 diabetes. You have to take your diabetic medicine. You have to take your insulin. You can't just not take it and go 100% you know, holistic. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you
can't take it when it's too late.
Right. It has to be in an as for preventative measures. But if we all do everything and eat healthy, you know, a healthy diet, and we take our, you know, some herbs, you know, start enjoying herbs and herbal teas, then it's going to help prevent you know, the severity of other conditions that you may have, or postpone it. Now, echinacea is really good for colds. That when I was a kid, you have some echinacea tea if you have a cold or the flu or a minor infection. So that is something that I think every household should have, some echinacea tea, and my household happens to be one of them. So another one is elderberry. That is also the same, that helps the prevention as well as the treatment of colds and flu and bronchitis. So elderberry, if you have bronchitis, it's going to help you know, help you clear that up. So anywho, so moving right along in our little story. Now, have you heard of ginseng? It seems like everyone is talking about ginseng these days.
Ginseng, yes. Ginseng. Is that Panax ginseng, or is that maybe I'm thinking
it
of
something
is. Else?
Yeah, it is. How did you know that?
It's something that I take occasionally.
Oh, okay. Okay, and it's a root, and it's good for fatigue and improving concentration and well-being. And, you know, you can have it, the dry root, it is a root, so you could use the dry root and put it on your food, or you can steam the actual root and just go ahead and eat it that way. You can get ginseng in supplements, you know, at the ginseng store. So the supplement store. So golden seal, we're just going to move right along here. And golden seal is really, really great for fighting infection. You have an infection and you can get some, again, a supplement or in a tea, and it's good for inflammation and mucous membrane. So I would recommend that also if you have a cold. So you can use that with ginseng and some other things, you know, along.
Okay. I have noticed with ginseng, and maybe I don't, there's only one type that I've tried, but I haven't noticed too much from it. And it's hard for me to know if there's any real effect that I'm getting from it. And so I don't know how obvious the effects are supposed to be.
Well, did you have a lot of these things we're not supposed to feel an effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it will help the prevention, or helps, you know, or help strengthen our bodies against a cold. or when we have a cold, it will, you know, help us in the healing process. So if you're taking something like ginseng, but you don't have to have a lot of mucus you need to get rid of, then it would be very difficult to determine if it's working, but it is.
Hmm.
Okay, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay, so grape seed. Now, I have just only started taking grape seeds, and I take it as a pill. It's a supplement that I take, and I swallow it, and it is for circulatory problems. It is for poor vision, and again, varicose veins. So we have a couple of supplements or a couple herbs that we talked about in regards to varicose veins. So I just, you know, a lot of the herbs that I take, I try them out myself. So, hey, you know what? I think it's time that we change subjects and start talking about vibration, since you, Nick Brighter, are the vibration expert, and I'm learning so much from you. I really appreciate it, and I loved last week's talk on vibration, but I had a little bit of a problem with fully understanding it, and I was wondering, just curious, if you would maybe
elaborate.
Well, pretend that you're not talking to an audience of vibration scholars. You know, no, elaborate. Maybe not quite even elaborate quite so much. Why don't we pretend you're talking to a group of fifth graders? Because I probably am at a third grade level in regards to vibrations, unless you're talking about it, you know, metaphysically.
So, vibrations, and I think everyone kind of has an idea and a different take on it. And but we all vibrate at different levels, and our vibrations, everything in life, all people, animals, the world, are realities, and our reality is shaped by our vibrations. And our vibrations and our energy level is probably, that's kind of how I perceive it, as an energy level. And why would someone care about their vibrational level? And
I was told recently by a vibration expert, I said, can you just guess what my vibration would be? Now, this is me knowing that the scale is from, like, let's say 100 to 1,000. And the guess was I was probably at 220. And I must confess, I was slightly insulted. Because I thought, in my mind, you know, I'm at 500.
On that point, I would say that people have different hats in their life. You have your work hat, your home hat, your daughter hat, your mother hat, your sister hat, your friend hat. All these different hats that you wear, and also your hobby hat, or one hobby and a different hobby hat. Or maybe you have two different jobs. And all of those can be at different energy levels. Or maybe you play on a sports team. Or maybe you make music. So all of those things can be at different energy levels. And in addition to that, people have a base energy level. Just when they're by themselves and just sort of thinking, what is their base energy?
So you have a baseline, and every day it can go up or down depending on your environment, who you're with, what you're doing, your activities.
Your base energy level changes slowly over time, and it has a tendency, if a person doesn't work on changing their energy level, then their base energy level has a tendency to adapt towards the environment. Other than a person's base energy level, all the different hats they wear can be at different energy levels, and they can vary widely from very high to very low. So if a person gave you a certain energy level, then it could be with the hats that they saw you wearing, that's where they put one of those. That's was their estimation of what they saw when you were wearing that hat.
Okay, that is really interesting. And is it for anyone else? Like, can you look at somebody and kind of gauge? Like, that person seems to be
Most people have, in their lifetime, by the time they're an adult, experienced brief moments of energy levels that range from the very bottom to very, very high levels. So when a mother's in childbirth, or when she gives birth to a child, that's a, I believe Frederick Dodson would put that at a 600, I believe.
Ah.
It's a very high level experience. When Christians are worshiping, that's something he puts at a very high level experience.
What would that be? Let's say you're in church with a room, there's 400 people and you're all praising.
I believe it is different depending on what, you know, what kind of belief system you have, but I believe, well, you know, let's go with the communion. I believe is something that he puts at around 700 or maybe 500. I don't remember exactly, but it's something that he puts very high.
So a group of people, would that even extend to a community,
mm-hmm.
and a city?
Yeah,
country?
A city will have an energy level. A country will have an energy level. Humanity has an energy level. So I believe humanity's energy level, and I like to use the Dodson scale because it was the first one I became aware of. But most scales use a similar scale, probably a 1 to 1,000 scale, but the Dodson scale is a 1 to 700 scale. And that humanity has been only slightly above 200 for, you know, about 20 years or so, 20 or 30 years.
Were they higher before?
Supposedly in ancient times, there was a period of time where, yes.
That's interesting, because I would have guessed it the other way.
And that for a few thousand years, that energy level progressively went down until, I don't know the exact time, but probably sometime around the Middle Ages was sort of the low point, I think, where it kind of bottomed out, and then it's been slowly rising since then. And it's probably 210, 220 now.
Oh, baseline?
Yeah, that'd be the world, humanity.
Oh, okay. That is just fascinating. I do have a question. Now, what actually got you involved?
So, now let me just go over, why would someone care about their energy level? And I think probably the best way to explain that is that if I were to tie in one thing that connects to energy level that people care about, it would be well-being. So a person, the higher a person's energy level, the higher their well-being will be. And in general, well-being is very connected to a person's happiness. So if you want to be happier, then you want to have higher well-being, and your well-being ties in very much to your energy level. It also ties in very much to what people would consider, what is generally considered to be a person that is successful. So for a person to be more successful in the way that most people view it, a higher energy level will help that out up to a certain point. There is a certain point, though, where a person, the reality is so different and what they value is so different. For example, they will generally stop caring about the material world, and their idea of success will be so different then that they won't even be able to, it's not even the same scale of success. But up until that point, I would say that a person's energy level is a very good determinant of how successful they can be with, effort up to a certain point.
Okay. No, wait, you covered a couple of things. So the higher your energy, are you saying that it takes less effort?
Yes.
To achieve your goals.
Yes.
Or what you define as success.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then what I think I hear you saying is, as you get higher, you realize, like, okay, I've achieved this, but does this even matter? Does it, is it's not as important to have the big, huge, palatial, you know, estate. It's not important anymore to have the finest clothes. Like, what difference does it make as long as...
In some way, the answer to that is yes. But it's important to make a distinction that to that. At a high energy level, when you reach that point where maybe those nice clothes don't matter to you, that it is a positive experience of great well-being that makes you not care about those clothes and not one of nihilism,
okay.
Which is a negative. It's a low nihilism is a low level. It's a low level way of looking at not caring.
Okay,
two because, different types of not caring.
Okay, because I can see people at really low levels that don't care about anything because they don't care about life. They don't care about
any relationships, apathy.
Or even helping anyone else.
Yeah. And there is a middle level to that, too, which I would call contentness. It would be a middle level of kind of not caring. It's more of a not that you don't need anything. Things aren't really positive or negative, but they're maybe slightly on the positive side, would I think be
contentness. I think that doesn't sound like a bad place to be if you're actually truly content.
For many people, being content would be far better than where they are at now.
Okay.
So, but to the person at that very high energy level that doesn't care about the material world, contentness is that's suffering to them. Because they're just in bliss all the time.
Okay. So let's say you jump, because I think last week you mentioned that you can jump from a 150 to a 250 or even up to a 3.
Oh, you can jump levels.
I don't mean in a day. I mean your baseline jumping.
Oh, okay. Your baseline generally can't jump, except it can maybe jump one level, but if you do jump levels, to get to a higher level beyond where you jump to, you will have to go back. In other words, you can't skip levels, except you can skip one maybe temporarily.
Is that because you need the experience to recognize the other all the levels in order to continue?
I suppose I don't exactly know the reason why that is, but I believe it's something about that you need to experience all the levels. There aren't very negative experiences that you have to be able to take them in, experience them, accept those negative emotions, and know how to handle it. And the reason why I mention this is because there's a lot of people that, well, they're very spiritual people, but they'll take an approach of, you know, no negativity. And that will limit their growth, and they won't be able to attain a level beyond a certain. Their growth will be limited if they will not accept any negative experiences. No negative people in my life.
Okay,
no,
you know,
negative
I've heard
nothing.
That seems to be. I see this online all the time.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Like, I don't want anyone negative around me. All that drama.
No negative energy.
Away. No negative energy.
So, I'm not saying that you should let people in your life that are just a constant drag of negative energy, but you can't have you can't approach it from a point of view of no negative energy. That's not how you rise that's not how you raise your energy level.
Okay, then that makes sense. So it's sort of like you have to go through all these little steps.
You have to go through every step, and at every step, the answer to raise your energy level is different from other ones.
So I am curious, how would you accomplish it? Like, I want to raise my level, my vibrational level. I want to raise it. I think that that's probably a good thing. I don't exactly even know why, but it just seems like something positive to do, even though you were saying I had to go through all the negative. I think I've gone through
So I would just hit on the point again that a person's energy level is very tied to their level of well-being. So if you want greater levels of well-being, then raising your energy level is how you do that. So I think everyone should want to raise their energy level.
So well-being as far as like body, mind, spirit, just your entire person.
Just, I would say as a whole, a person's well-being and their energy level are very tied to each other.
Okay, so what if somebody is...
Which is a reason why someone would want to raise their energy level. If someone wanted to have a greater level of well-being so that they would be happier, they would raise their energy level. Then that would be a good way of doing that.
What if you're in very poor health and it was because you just don't eat well? I mean, it's not because...
So all of the research I've done seems to indicate, and I don't like this answer, but it's sort of what I've come, to learn is that a person in poor health, and there are exceptions to this, like a person in at a very high age, that a person in poor health is, well, if a person's energy level is high enough, they're not going to be in poor health.
Okay.
There will be a point, though, where they are so old that they might not wake up one day, though.
Well, okay.
Right, but that's a little different. So if a person's in poor health, then they're not at an energy level high enough where that's not possible. And so the idea is that there is an energy level that is high enough where a person won't become to be in poor health, and there's exceptions.
Or if they are because they're just simply toward the end of life. I mean, they're just old, and it's just nature.
So, and it's something I have a hard time sort of accepting that, but it's from all my research, that's where I've ended on that point, is that that person is in ill health because their energy level is not at a point where that illness wouldn't be able to happen. And it is kind of a high energy level, so you're talking
when people
about 500.
When they're very, very old, and they've always lived, you know, they've achieved the highest, let's say 500s, but their body's just dying just simply because they're getting older at the end of life. What, at the point of death, has anyone ever talked about any of through your research?
So when a person's at that high of an energy level, and I think this is sort of why it fits that I call it an exception, but it's not really an exception, that person doesn't really die. Their consciousness goes to connect on with source.
Okay.
So that could be God.
Heaven.
Or, yeah, they go to heaven. They connect with infinity, whatever a person applies to being the creator of everything, of our existence.
Okay.
So for many, that would be God, and for people that are non-believers, that would, I think the word infinity, you know, the source, infinity
okay.
source works.
So when people talk about the source, talking about God. When they
talk about
Christians don't like to say the source because that's
if someone's talking about energy levels and they're talking about in an agnostic way, then what they refer to as source, that's God if you're a Christian. That is God.
Okay.
So because source is the consciousness of everything. It's the creator of everything. It's the source of everything in existence.
So it would be impossible to be an agnostic.
So it must.
Would it not?
So if you're a Christian, then that must be God.
Okay, of course.
So a 500 energy level person, when they die, when their body passes, their consciousness goes on to connect with source. Which, if you're a Christian, that means you're going on to live with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
In which you have everlasting life. So, the person's consciousness doesn't actually die when they're at that level. Their body does.
Okay.
And so I call it an exception because, yeah, their body's dying, but their consciousness is actually still going on. Whereas if they're at a lower energy level, then there are things that happen when they die, and they could be, well, essentially they have to play the game again in some way.
Okay, that's a whole other subject that we can talk about at another time.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that, okay?
And on the lower end, there is, you know, what I would essentially call hell.
Well, if so, you're at low, if you're...
If you're at a very, if you're at a very low end, then if you're at a very low end and you die and you continue to make, there's some choices that you can still make at that point. If you continue to make the wrong choices, then it is what I think necessarily must be hell, because I can't imagine anything worse than that. And there's not, I mean, technically there's ways out of it, but not really.
Well, someone like that may not even be able to accept
that sort of
Jesus, or accept, you know, there is a God. So
there's something that usually, there's something that will prevent them or make it very difficult for them from rising out of their situation.
So why do you think, on a vibrational standpoint, why do people commit suicide? I've just been reading about it a lot lately.
The vibrational way of looking at that is actually really simple, and actually kind of I like this because there's other ways that you can apply it, although the explanation itself is maybe a little too simple, which is that when a person's vibrational level drops to a certain point, death is inevitable, either by illness or by them killing themselves.
Okay.
And you can actually, if you're very good at identifying people's energy level, then you'll be able to identify if a person is at this energy level. And so you might not know the person or haven't met them ever, but if you can see that they're at that energy level, then you already know that this person's near death. Either he's going to get killed or he's going to kill himself. Because his energy level is so low that it's just what will it's what happens at that energy level.
So it's
a very simple explanation and way of looking at it. However, I think it's I like it in that it gives prescriptions. When a person's at that point, what are the things that they can do to raise their energy level, and what are those things that they can do to raise their energy level which will prevent their death that are maybe better than the way that we currently do things. We currently handle people like that. And so that's what I kind of like about it, is it gives alternative prescriptions that work.
Well, when you're that low, there's only one way to go.
Although a lot of people don't want to raise their energy level, though, so it's kind of difficult.
But there's kind of only one way to, when you're at that bottom, hitting bottom, when they talk about, let's say, somebody that
you're below apathy at that point.
Oh, okay.
So you're below apathetic, and you're below helplessness also.
Okay, so that is actually very sad.
Yeah.
I've just been reading a lot about suicides lately, people being just feeling isolated in this pandemic. I mean, as human beings are social people, and so some people just simply can't handle that. A lot of them are younger, and a part of me thinks that it's their emotions and... you know, a lot to do with their age and their emotions, because that they can't see that far in the future, and so their only answer is to end their life. But that's
I will point out I mentioned some things that as someone that grew up as a Christian, and I'm still a Christian, there isn't anything in the idea of, you know, vibrations in a person's energy level that is incompatible with Christianity, but on the surface it can appear so. And so I'm just pointing out that I see it as compatible, and most of the proponents of most of the big names in, you know, the people that have the most important research on this are Christians that put, you know, people like Jesus Christ as, like Dodson, for example, puts Jesus Christ at, I believe, 1,000.
Well, that's not how it should go.
And he's actually the only human being that he puts over 700. Okay. Jesus Christ, and God,
well,
God would also be 1,000.
Divine.
Yeah, 1,000 is divinity.
Okay.
So, it explains our reality and what a person's, what I think is really close to a person's well-being. Not quite on a one-to-one, but really close to it. So, if you want to have greater well-being, then approaching your life from a point of view of, I would like to work to raise my energy level, is one way of improving your well-being. And I would also say that when you reach the neutral point, just by putting effort into increasing your vibrational level will prevent you from lowering,
okay,
from going down.
As long as you've gone through all those steps.
As long as you're putting in the effort to increase your energy level.
Okay.
You won't decrease in energy level. Simply being aware of it and putting in the effort to increase it will prevent you from going lower.
Well,
so
that,
I just wanted to mention that because I know we're running out of time.
No, that is perfectly fine. You know what? That gives me some inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would like to be above this 220 that somebody.
I think I would put you above 220.
Oh, well, thank
but
you.
There must be a hat in your life that person was familiar with about you where he put you at 220, or she.
Oh, well, I am not going to say, but I was just...
So either your work hat or your friend hat or your...
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay.
Some hat.
Okay. I must have had some depressing hat on. Maybe I don't know.
Or whoever mentioned that.
I don't know. I will never say who said that to me. Anyway, everyone, thank you so much for listening to our show. We appreciate it. I am Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with Nicholas Brighter from the Brighter Institute. And have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
I can't help but look around and feel like things are getting out of hand. We've been told to trust the science, but the science just doesn't make sense. They say it isn't mandatory, but they also say your jab or your job. But if it doesn't stop the spread, it makes it feel like this is just a facade. What about the healthcare workers? What about the frontline nurses? How quickly we forget that they were working 18 hours a day. What about informed consent? What about due diligence? It seems the country that I used to call home is surely slipping away. I can't help but look around and feel like minds are slowly starting to change. Cause even if you're triple vaccinated, know that segregation isn't the way. Freedom is a choice and it's available to all if we choose. But first things first, you gotta turn off the news. Yeah, what about the healthcare workers? What about the frontline nurses? How quickly we forget that they were working 18 hours a day. What about informed consent? What about due diligence? It seems the country that I used to call home is surely slipping away. If you're late to the party, there's plenty room at the table. This side don't discriminate. I'm calling on every single man, woman, child of the able. It's time to take the streets and liberate. But please don't be a part of the problem, staying willfully ignorant, cause there's just way too much at stake. Yo, it's okay to change your mind, you can admit you were wrong, cause where there's perfect love, there ain't no shame. Heavenly Father, show me what I don't understand yet. I got my marching orders, I don't fully know the plan yet. Hold on to my Bible before bed, no, it ain't banned yet. Did you know the makers of the vaccine make the Xanax? I would never lean on corporations for morality, cause they put their profits over people for their salaries. I know they wanna make you bend the knee for your normality. I know you're feeling all alone, but in reality, there's way more of us than them. There's way more of us than them. There's
way more of us than them. There's way more of us than them. There's way more of us than them. There's way more of us than them. There's way more of us.